Tonight, I'm going to continue along with the series on marriage. On Sunday, Josh and I talked about the five keys to compatibility. It is so important who you marry. The average marriage only lasts 8 years. You were listening. You paid attention. And 50% of all marriages end in divorce. They're not very good statistics, are they? If you saw the news this week, you saw a newlywed couple that got married. They've been only married for about a week, and they were at Glacier National Park, and they got in a fight, and she got upset at him, and she pushed him off the cliff to his death. They had just gotten married, been married 1 week. That doesn't count as divorce. Well, so she pushed him off the cliff when he turned around and had her back, his back to her. So that's not very good. So you may be asking yourself, is marriage that good of an idea? And like we said Sunday, absolutely. Marriage is a good idea because it is God's idea. Marriage is the best way to do life because God said it was. The Bible said it is not good for us to be alone. So Sunday, we went over five keys to compatibility, which were, number one, spiritual compatibility. Number two, character. Number three, emotional. Number four, communication. And number five, sexual chemistry. If you're looking for a spouse, they need to have all five. Amen? After service on Sunday, I ran into somebody in town, and we were talking about the message, and they said, well, the last person I dated had one of those keys that you need. That's pretty good, right? That's 20%. I said, no, it isn't. You've got to have all five. You got to have all five. If you're going to beat these statistics, if you're going to have an awesome, God-centered marriage, you need to follow those five keys to compatibility. One woman said, I married my husband for better or for worse. He couldn't do better, and I could not have done any worse. Some of you are thinking, hey, that's me. No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But tonight I want to navigate through some common lies people believe about marriage, like marriage is about personal satisfaction. Only when a couple begins to grow towards God will they grow closer to each other. Make God first. Marriage is cooperation. It takes both of you with God in the center. Loyalty and commitment are essential to having a great marriage. You need to be unified as one. Jesus said, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's Mark chapter 3, verse 25. If it's divided, it cannot stand. In James chapter 3, verse 16, James chapter 3, verse 16 says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You must have unity with each other. The reason why marriage is so challenging, the reason why marriage is so attacked, is because the enemy knows that if the two of you and your family ever tap into the power of unity and unconditional love, there is nothing he can do to stop God working through you. An example of how powerful unity and cooperation can be is found in Genesis chapter 11. Why don't you turn there with me? Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 9. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They were one people in one place. They said to each other, come, let make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. For there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Here's what I want you to see. Back in verse 6, it says, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible. That is the power of unity and cooperation. The power of unity, the power of loyalty and commitment in a marriage is unstoppable. I need your help. I'm going to ask you a question, and then I want you all to shout it out. You don't have to raise your hand, but I just want you to shout it out. Think you can help me out with that? Yes, okay. Who is the one that has saved us, redeemed us, and cleansed us? That's right. Who is our source of strength? Who is the only person that can truly satisfy our soul and our deepest needs in our lives? Who can bring us peace, comfort, and joy? Who will never leave us or forsake us? Who calms our fears when the storms of life are raging? Who can pick us up when we're down? Who is our helper and makes us strong when we're weak? Who's never gonna let us down or quit on us? Who knows everything about us and still loves us and accepts us? Who provides all of our needs? Who can bring authentic fulfillment and satisfaction in life? Jesus, absolutely. If he is all these things to us, then why do we look to our spouse to take on these roles? Sometimes we assign qualities of God to our spouse and expect them to keep us afloat in a situation only God could. I want to talk about some marriage myths. Here's one. Marriage is about personal satisfaction. What's in it for me? How will it be pleasurable for me? How will my spouse meet my needs? 2/3 of divorces happen in the first 5 to 7 years. The result is when marriage no longer meets their personal needs, then they move on to the next relationship. He or she just doesn't do it for me anymore, so I'm going to try something else. The process is repeated over and over and over again. It's a take relationship instead of giving. Another myth is the goal of marriage is to achieve happiness. Hear me out. Happiness is a fruit of marriage, but it shouldn't be the goal. People use marriage as a role to achieve personal happiness. I feel complete, and you will complete me. You make me feel whole. I need to have kids and a family, then I'll be happy. I want to live securely. I don't want to be lonely. I want my sexual desires fulfilled. Marriage is fulfilling, but if the source of our esteem and happiness is dependent upon that relationship, we will have a lot of days that we aren't happy. If Jesus is the rock we build our lives on, we can still be happy regardless of how our relationship is going. Just because your husband or your wife is being a jerk, that doesn't make it okay for you to be a jerk. You are responsible for you. If your spouse is moody, if your spouse is cranky, you can still be happy because you are based, your happiness is based on who you are in Jesus Christ. You are responsible for you. Another myth is, if my spouse would change just a few things in this marriage, it would be great. Lily, why are you smiling? She's a newlywed. Did you think that? Kinda. Kinda. So, you know, we think that and instead of being sold out to the marriage, people come into it with selfish expectations of their spouse, changing them into their dream and fulfilling their desires. We end up trying to change our spouse into the person we want them to be. When they don't fulfill your expectations, you'll wonder if there's something wrong with you or your spouse. You will end up asking yourself, did I marry the wrong person? Even if you did marry the wrong person, when you said I do, they became the right person. Amen? That's not a reason to leave. You've given your spouse control over your emotions and your happiness. I can only be happy if they make changes. That's too much power. Your happiness should be based on who you are in Christ. When you ascribe to attributes of deity and humanity, you will always be let down and disappointed. It is not your husband or your wife's responsibility to make you happy and meet your needs in life. It is humanly responsible. God says, that's my role, that's my job. If you're looking for a spouse to bring you joy, comfort, peace, satisfaction, strength, and acceptance, you obviously think you have married a god. Here's an example for you. Say Josh and I are in the ocean and we're treading water. We have nowhere to go, nothing to hold on. Josh is a pretty good swimmer. I'm not very good. Believe it or not, that boy can swim so fast. You'd think he's like a, well, I shouldn't say whale. Did you say whale? They said whale, so we'll just go with it because I didn't say it, okay? So don't tell him that. He's kind of like a whale, and you wouldn't think he could swim that fast, but he is fast. He's got a brother that's like 25 years old. He's all slim and fit and works out and muscular. And Josh is like, I'll race you across that pool. He's like, sure, okay. They get in the pool. Josh, like, leaves him in the dust, and I'm on the side going, yeah, that's my whale. Who said that, Barbie? Okay, so she's the one in trouble then. All right, so say we're out in the ocean and we're treading water, and I'm getting tired, so I begin to lean on him, and I begin to pull on him. Now he has to work harder to stay above the water, and he starts getting frustrated at me because I'm clinging on to him. I'm putting pressure on him, and the waves, they start pulling us under. And ultimately, if I struggle and look to him to be my savior, I not only end up going under, but I drag him under the waves with me. Why? Because I'm expecting him to fulfill something that only Jesus can do in my life. Jesus saves, not my husband. We won't drown if both of us will hold on to Jesus and let him be our security, our strength, our backbone, our peace, and our joy. There's power in unity. We will be secure when the storms of life come on us because we're together and we're anchored on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It wounds and hurts both of us if I let go of my life preserver and hold on to his. We need to hold on to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. His resources are unlimited. Aren't you thankful for that? Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ through it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. What a promise. Hallelujah. Fulfillment and life satisfaction should come from God, not your spouse. In a typical marriage, the husband and wife want to grow together, so they begin to pursue each other. Pursuing a closer marriage will get them no closer to God. You will both become closer together as you pursue Christ. True intimacy is found in the spiritual realm first. If you want to build excitement and expectation as husband and wife, why don't you pray together for one another? Why don't the physical is an expression of the spiritual unity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how could one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Jesus needs to be the center of your marriage. By increasing our commitment to God, we will live a more satisfied and fulfilled life. It'll help you be a better spouse. It'll help you be a better wife. It'll help you be a better husband. We will live a more satisfied and fulfilled life if we increase our commitment to God. Why? Because God is the one filling our emotional tanks, recharging our batteries, and renewing our strength. We are not dependent upon our spouse and their moods or their ability to help us. Jesus is the one that never changes. By increasing our commitment to God, we strengthen our commitment to each other. When we're frail, weak, tempted, and challenged, when I grow in Christ, I'm able to do things I couldn't and wouldn't want to do before. God is going to steer you back to your spouse. By increasing our commitment to God, we become a blessing versus a burden in the relationship. We become a sail versus an anchor in our relationship. Some of you are sitting there thinking, boy, I got an anchor in my relationship. But when we increase our commitment, we become a blessing and not a burden. We become a sail and not an anchor. If we put up the sails in our lives and let God work, we will have purpose and direction. Without a sail, the ship will go wherever the sea tosses it. Many marriages just respond. They are constantly being pulled in whatever direction the storms of life in this world pull them. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you serve your spouse? Or is it an all-take relationship? In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. By increasing our commitment to God, By increasing our commitment, we respond in love and forgiveness versus anger and frustration. When we build our commitment to God, it builds our commitment to each other. We start living and blessing others with an attitude of Jesus Christ. The more like Christ we become, the more loving and forgiving we are. The more we renew our minds in the Word of God, the more we act like a better spouse. We act like Jesus. We love like Jesus. We forgive like Jesus. We serve like Jesus. When you lay under the sun, your physical countenance changes. When you live under the sun, and I'm talking about the S-O-N, your spiritual countenance transforms. If you're a wife and you're struggling with your husband, you're struggling to be nice to him, you get out your Bible every morning and you turn to Proverbs 31 and it talks about a wife and it says that a good wife does no evil or no harm to him. If you've got to say it every day, I'm not going to do any evil to him. I'm not going to do any harm to them. And if you're a husband, you need to love your wife like Christ loves the church. Have you thought of that? You're supposed to love her. She needs your love. Spend time with God. It will transform your relationship. It'll transform the atmosphere of your home. When your mind isn't renewed, you act carnal. You have fits of anger. You let your fights drag on. You let the sun go down on your wrath. And you just drag on things. But when you get into the Word and you renew your mind and you see how you're supposed to walk this thing called marriage out, it'll be so much better. God will bless your marriage. When you spend time with God, it will transform your life. Also, by increasing our commitment to God, you will build your marriage on a secure foundation. Build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ. Rock may take a little more work and a little more time to build, but it's gonna last. You could build it much quicker on sand, but when the storms of life come, the one that will last is the one that is built on the rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You may hear many people say, man, I wish I had a better marriage. Wishing is not going to change anything, but commitment will. Seeking God, seeking His Word, and doing it His way is going to change your marriage. Commit to pledge oneself, to be strong towards, to endure in, to persevere, to maintain a consistent responsibility. A relationship without commitment is like a sailboat without sails. Your relationship will flounder and drift. It will be pulled by the tides instead of remaining on course. Commitment is the glue that keeps the relationship together and moving forward. You need to be committed to God and you need to be committed to your spouse. To get more committed to Christ, we have to become less committed to something else. Many of us try to keep the old and squeeze in the new. We try to keep a little bit of our old life. It creates conflict in our life. Don't become less committed to your marriage. Maybe you need to be a little less committed to a hobby or a television show and put a little more commitment into your marriage. Put a little more work into your marriage. The entire process of becoming more committed Christian is summed up in the words of John the Baptist. It says in John chapter 3, verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. We must die to self. It needs to be more about Jesus and less about us. Marriage is still a good idea because it is God's idea. But we need to do our part. Amen? Amen. John, if you would come. marriage can be so awesome. It can be such a good thing if you have two people working together in unity with God, with Jesus Christ in the center. It is awesome. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fight. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go maybe through some hard times. But if you stay committed, if you persevere, it's going to end up awesome. Don't give up. So many people give up too quickly. Let's be committed to our husband and to our wife. Let's be committed to God. Let's draw closer to God, which in turn will draw us closer to each other. Amen? God is so good. I'm thankful for a marriage. I'm thankful for that covenant. I'm thankful for my family. Anybody thankful for their spouse tonight? Aren't you glad? Everybody, you better raise your hand. You're sitting next to them, right? But Josh and I, we want to see your marriages succeed. We want to help you strengthen your marriage, give you keys. Even if you have an awesome marriage, there's always something you can do to make it even better. Josh and I are always looking. We want to make our marriage even better. It gets better and better the older we get. Amen? Yes. That's good. Well, tonight, if you'd stand with me, before we leave, I'd like us to sing one more time together. I want to sing, "You Are Good," because God is so good. No matter what you're going through tonight, He is good. He is a God that is good all the time. Amen? Amen. Let's get together here. Let's lift our voices in one accord. There's power in unity, and we're going to praise Him tonight in one name. Amen. You're a child of the Most High God. How awesome is that? You're the righteousness of Christ. You're blood bought. You're headed for heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are headed for heaven. He's such an awesome God. He's so mighty and He's so powerful. He can move mountains. He can restore your relationship. He can restore your marriage. He can make it better than it ever was. Nothing's too hard. Nothing's too big. You may say, you don't know what I've been going through for years. But can I tell you, prayer works. God works. It's not too big for God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Sometimes life gets tough. Sometimes you go through things that aren't fair. But you know what? God is there. He can help you. He's the answer. He's the one that can see you through. Hallelujah. And He is our God. He calls us His own, and we call Him our very own. How awesome is that? The one true living God, the maker of everything, the creator of the universe, calls us His very own. Whatever you need, ask Him. Go to Him. Prayer works. The prayer of faith, when you attach faith to that, believing nothing is impossible, God's gonna move. Expect Him to move mightily in your marriage. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You for this opportunity to come together, to be in Your presence, to worship You, Lord, and to hear Your word. I pray that people that are struggling in their marriage, that You would help them and show them. Give them wisdom. Restore their marriages. We rebuke any attack on the family, on marriages. We rebuke You, devil. You have no place. Get out of these marriages. Get these works that You do. Devil, we rebuke You. And we claim the peace of God in these homes. That there be joy, an atmosphere of love in homes. We pray for this Sunday that you draw people in, people that don't know you, so they can be saved. We pray that you bring in families and marriages that are struggling or maybe have questions and not sure what to do. Bring them in, Lord. Draw them here. Put people in our paths that we can be a blessing to and shine your light. We pray that your word be so anointed, saturated in your anointing this Sunday, Lord, that lives be changed, that they draw a line in the sand and no longer live for the world, but live for you, Lord. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Well, we look forward to seeing you this Sunday. You don't want to miss it. It is going to be an awesome service. Come, bring anybody you can. It's a good way to get people to come because marriage is something a lot of people have in common. Invite them to come out. You won't regret it. Have a great week. We will see you this Sunday. We're going to leave with a shout of hallelujah because our God is good. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah. We'll see you Sunday.